Our gospel reading today comes from Matthew chapter 2. It can be found on page 1497 in your pew Bibles. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people." We give thanks to God for his word. I invite you to be seated. As we transition into the message time, I invite you to open your prayer and action guides, pull out the yellow sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a communication tool. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas in the message. There's a spot to jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear from you what you feel like God is saying to you and how God is calling you to respond. So hopefully you can engage with me in that. And now I want to invite you to engage with me in prayer. Let's pray. God, we come here today from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Big things in a small town. That's the title of a website that lists some of the big things that are happening in the small town of Casey, Illinois. Have any of you heard of Casey, Illinois? Just a few. I hadn't until recently. Casey is a small town of about 2,700 people, just south of Interstate 70. It's about halfway between St. Louis and Indianapolis. And if you look at the map on the screen, you'll see that red marker indicating where Casey is in Illinois. Like many other small towns, Casey was in danger of fading away and being lost in the archives of history. That was until a resident of Casey had a big idea. Jim Bolin grew up in Casey, and he is now the vice president of Bolin Enterprises, which his dad started in 1986. It now employs 240 people, and they do oil and natural gas pipeline maintenance across the country. Well, after the recession of 2007, Jim Bolin was noticing that local companies in Casey were crumbling or moving away. And the town of Casey needed something big in order to survive. And one day, Jim came up with the idea of making something big, really big. Inspired by pleasant memories of his grandmother's wind chimes, Bolin came up with the idea to build a giant wind chime in order to attract attention to his wife's tea shop. Luckily, Bolin had access to really large pipes due to his job. And after 2 years of design, planning, and building, Jim Bolin succeeded in building the world's largest wind chime. Here's a picture of the wind chime. It's 56 feet high, and the longest pipe is 42 feet long. And Jim's idea worked. Lots of people came off the interstate to see this gigantic wind chime and shop in the town. From there, Bolin and his crew began to think of other big things that they could build to help their small town. I'll share a few more with you. Do we have any golfers in the house? Any golfers? They built the world's largest golf tee. It is 30 feet tall and weighs 6,659 pounds. Do we have anyone here who crochets or knits? They built the world's largest crochet hook and knitting needles. The needles alone are 14 feet long and 25 pounds each. In order to break the record, they actually had to knit a 10 by 10 square with these mammoth tools. But their most difficult project so far was the world's largest rocking chair. It is over 56 feet tall and weighs over 46,000 pounds. The rocking chair had to actually rock in order to break the record, and it took at least 10 of Bolin's employees to move the chair. Now Bolin has 8 Guinness World Records, and his big things are attracting a lot of attention and business from around the world. For Bolin, however, this is about much more than bringing glory to himself or his company or even to his town. Bolin is a devout man of faith. And he explained to a reporter, "It's not a self thing or a company thing. We give our glory back to our God. We have faith in him that this will help our small town." And every big thing that they build has a scripture written on it or near it. And the scripture relates to the object in some way and connects it with God's word. So for example, on the resounding wind chime is the verse Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It's the power of God at work saving everyone who believes." The verse for the golf tee is Psalm 103:11. "For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth." The verse for the knitting needles, Psalm 139:13. "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb." And the verse for the soothing rocking chair is John 16:33. "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." God can do big things in a small town. God is doing big things in Casey, Illinois to bring glory to God's name and deliver God's good news of love, peace, hope, and salvation to all the world. In the message today, we're looking at another town that could have championed the motto, "Big things in a small town." Bethlehem was a small town, yet God did big things in that small town to bring glory to God's name and deliver God's good news of love, peace, hope, and salvation to all the world. And as we consider what happened in Bethlehem, I pray that we are inspired to dream about the big things that God can do in our lives and in our city. Bethlehem was a small town. One of our classic Christmas carols is, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Located just 6 miles southwest of Jerusalem, Bethlehem was a little town of under 1,000 people. Like many other small towns, it could have easily faded away and been lost in the archives of history. The reason it wasn't is because God chose to do some big things in a small town. Our church has been on a journey through the Bible, and we've already heard about some of the big things that God did in the small town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem was the place where Jacob, the father of the nation of Israel, buried his wife, Rachel. Bethlehem was the place where Ruth and Boaz met, fell in love, and made a home. Their grandson, David, who became the second king of Israel, was also from the small town of Bethlehem. So God was already doing big things in this small town. Yet God was preparing to do something really big in Bethlehem, like world's largest kind of big. And we heard the prophet Micah speak about this really big thing in our first reading. To give you a little context and background about this passage, Micah was a prophet or a person who shared God's word with the nation of Israel. And sometimes the prophets spoke about things that were happening directly at that time. Sometimes the prophets spoke and predicted things that were to come. Often, they did both. And the passage from Micah chapter 5 falls into the both category. If we read before our passage, we find that Micah is speaking directly to what was going on in that time and that place. The nation of Israel, the very people that God had formed to be his own special people, had fallen away from God. They were placing other things before God in their life. Their worship had become just empty ritual. They were doing things that hurt God, hurt others, hurt themselves. Some of the sins that their nation struggled with were hypocrisy, greed, sexual impurity, lying, fraud, gluttony, injustice, oppression, vicious speech, violent behavior. These sins are not so different from the sins that our nation struggles with today. Micah warned the people. He said, if you don't repent and turn back to God, your entire nation is going to be in danger. Apart from God's guidance, protection, and provision, the nation of Israel would easily, the tiny nation, would easily be conquered and destroyed by other nations. So Micah invited the people to repent, to turn back to God for forgiveness and help. Even though God passionately dislikes sin, God loves to forgive sinners who turn back to him. But sadly, the people didn't listen to Micah. And Micah predicted that Israel would fall, that their kings would be dethroned and taken captive. And these predictions caused a little bit of theological tension in the minds of those who were still faithful to God in Israel. If these predictions came true, then it would seem that some of the other promises that God made would not come true. For example, way back in Genesis 12, when God started the nation of Israel, God made a promise to Abraham that this nation would bless all the nations of the world. How would that happen if their tiny nation was conquered and destroyed? God made another promise that seemed to be in jeopardy. In 2 Samuel 7, God made a promise to King David that his kingdom would be established forever and that there would be a ruler from his bloodline who would reign forever. How could that happen if their kings were dethroned and taken captive? So you can kind of sense the tension. God's predictions and God's promises seemed to be in conflict. But one of the things we discover in the Bible is that God is always faithful to his word. If God says it, it's true, and we can count on God to come through. And both God's predictions and God's promises would come true. Israel would fall, and its kings would be taken captive. But God would provide a king from David's bloodline who would reign forever and bless all the nations of the world. And to accomplish this incredible feat, God made another promise. This time, the promise wasn't just to a person. It was to a place. I find this fascinating. God made a promise to a town. It's kind of neat for me to think that God not only has big plans for his people, but God has big plans for places. And through the prophet Micah, God made a promise to the town of Bethlehem. God said, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come from me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." That's a big promise. Bethlehem was an unlikely candidate for such a big promise. We've seen God do this before on our journey through the Bible. God had a habit of choosing people who were unlikely candidates for his big promises, people who seemed small and insignificant. I think about Gideon, who just couldn't understand how God could use him to save his people. Gideon said, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Or I think about how Saul responded when told that he was going to be the first king of Israel. Saul said, "But am I not a Benjamite from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans in the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing to me?" God often chose the small and insignificant to accomplish his purposes, so that everyone would know it was God who was at work. And now God was going to do it again, this time through a place. Bethlehem was an unlikely candidate for God's big promise. For starters, it was a small town. Remember, the population of Bethlehem was less than 1,000. In contrast, just 6 miles up the road was the city of Jerusalem, whose population was 40,000. And the numbers could swell to over 250,000 when people traveled to the capital for the religious festivals. To give you a size comparison, the difference between Bethlehem and Jerusalem would be like the difference between an actual golf tee and the world's largest golf tee. Big difference. No wonder the Magi went to Jerusalem in search for the promised king, not to Bethlehem. Bethlehem did not have much in the way of size, power, wealth, or prestige like Jerusalem did. But how many of you know that little is much when God is in it? Another reason Bethlehem was an unlikely candidate for God's promise is that Mary and Joseph didn't live anywhere close to Bethlehem. They lived in Nazareth, which was way up north. You can see it on the screen. It would kind of be like predicting a baby would be born in Casey, Illinois, but the parents lived way up north in Naperville. Just didn't make sense. But how many of you know that our God can make a way where there seems to be no way? Well, God chose to do big things in the small town of Bethlehem that would glorify God's name and deliver God's good news of love, peace, hope, and salvation to all the world. Out of tremendous love and mercy, God chose to send his one and only son, Jesus, to save us. And our Savior had to be both man and God. He had to be man so that he could pay the price for our sin. But he had to be God so that he could defeat the power of sin and death. And so through the miraculous work of God's Holy Spirit, God caused Mary to be pregnant with God's son, Jesus. And it gets more interesting. Both Mary and Joseph were descendants from David's family bloodline. And during their pregnancy, Caesar Augustus ordered a census, requiring everyone to return to their ancestral hometown, which meant that Mary and Joseph had to travel from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, where Jesus would be born. This linked Jesus both to David's family line and to the land from which the line of Davidic kings originated. So now Israel was going to get a new king who would reign forever. I mean, no wonder the angel is saying, "Glory to God." Only God could accomplish a feat like this. And the small town of Bethlehem got to play a big role in bringing glory to God and delivering God's good news to all the earth. Through the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, God made Israel a blessing to all the nations of the world, including ours. From the small town of Bethlehem came the everlasting King who can lead us in strength when we are weak. From the small town of Bethlehem came the Prince of Peace who can help us find peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with others. From the small town of Bethlehem came the sovereign king who can orchestrate good from even the most difficult of circumstances. And from the small town of Bethlehem came the merciful king who can save us from sin and give us eternal life with God. God can do big things in a small town. This was true for Bethlehem, and it was true for Naperville. During our new member classes, we share a little bit of the history of Good Shepherd. Did you know that when Good Shepherd was started in the 1970s, Naperville was just a sleepy farming town of less than 30,000 people? Nevertheless, the charter members believed that God can do big things in a small town, and God did. The church outgrew its first building on Westmoreland Avenue, In order to reach more people, the church decided to sell the building and look for another location. Finally, a spot opened up at 1310 Shepherd Drive. The church was told it was nuts for considering this location. At the time, 75th Street was just a two-lane highway. 1310 was on the outskirts of Naperville. South was only farms and fields. Told it was a horrible location. But the church felt like God was leading us here. And the members believed that God can do big things in a small town. And God did. Who could have imagined back then that 1310 Shepherd Drive today would be the geographical center of Naperville? Who could have imagined back then that a church with hundreds of members would grow to be a church with thousands of members? Who could have imagined back then that our children's ministry today would serve as many kids as most elementary schools serve? Who could have imagined back then that our church would have six different services in four different styles in two separate worship spaces? Who could have imagined back then that our church would have dozens of mission partners and go on over a dozen mission trips every year to deliver God's love, peace, hope, and salvation in our community and around the world? God can do big things in a small town. And God is still doing big things. Just this past week, I got to be part of two big God things. Last Sunday, I went with the 11 service to feed my starving children. We hosted a worship service there that combined both worship and service. The idea originated out of a vision to be a church that makes a difference beyond our church walls. And so there was music and singing, there was scripture and prayer, there was reflection and communion, combined with an opportunity to pack meals and to give generously to help those in need. And in our time together, we were able to pack 17,496 meals, which will feed 48 kids for an entire year. That's big. And then on Thursday, I brought my family to our children's ministry adventure night. It was the biggest turnout that we've ever had. 147 adults and 180 children gathered to kick off the Advent season. On the screen is a picture of Pastor Glenn's grandson, who was also a part of the fun. And during the night, the children's ministry team, they shared that Jesus is the reason for the season. And they gave us two crafts, one for us, and one for us to share with a neighbor. While Naperville is no longer a small town, I firmly believe that God still has big plans for his people in this place. And I pray that the story of Bethlehem, the story of Casey, Illinois, would inspire us all to dream about the big things that God wants to do with our community of faith. During the Advent season and Christmas time, we all have a big opportunity to invite others to worship with us so that more people can hear the good news of God's love, peace, hope, and salvation. Please take one of the invitation cards and give it to someone. Invite them to come worship with you. In addition to that, our Above and Beyond team is collecting suggestions and ideas for ways that our church can make an impact in the community and around the world. And we ask that you would please join us in thinking, praying, and dreaming and doing the big things that God is calling us to do. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that our scriptures for today also challenge us to pause and reflect on some of the ways that we fall away from God, some of the sins that we struggle with. Because apart from God's guidance, protection, and provision, we are lost, and we are headed down a dangerous path. And so this morning, we have an opportunity to repent and turn to God for forgiveness and help. Through Jesus, we have access to all of God's love, peace, hope, and salvation. And so as we close, I invite us into a time of repentance and dreaming so that God might continue to do big things through his people in this place. At the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card, and I invite you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you put your name and your email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you Check the boxes that apply, fill out your response, then you can put it in the offering basket or hand it to me on your way out. If you have a QR scanner on your phone, you can scan the code at the top and do it all from your phone. I'll give you a few moments with God, and then I'll close us in prayer. Would you pray with me? God, you can do big things in our lives, in our towns, in our cities. We're excited for all that you have done and will continue to do through Good Shepherd. Today we come before you in seeking your forgiveness for the ways that we fall away, for the sins that we struggle with. Forgive us and set us free from anything that would separate us from your love, peace, hope, and salvation, from anything that would separate us from your big plans. And God, we ask you today to continue to do big things through your people in this place. Give us the wisdom to know what you're calling us to do and the courage to do it. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.